Welcome to another episode of the Sal and Bob Show. I am comedian Sal D'Amelio. Across from me is the one and only Mr. Bob Phillips. How are you doing tonight, Bob, on this Valentine's Sunday?
I couldn't be doing better. That is the absolute truth.
Yeah, doing great, man.
Yeah.
You know?
It's been a good weekend.
We neither one of us has dates here tonight, so we decided to record.
I don't care.
And do our February 15th through the 22nd episode. The impeachment is over with.
Wow.
Donald Trump got away with it again. I saw some
Keeps
meme where he's
away
holding
with
up
it.
A trophy, a two-time impeachment champion or something. Somebody had a meme. That was funny. But anyway, that's going on. COVID is still around. You know, we're just trying to get through the winter here. The dark days of the winter.
Yeah, these are the dark days, but the days are getting longer. We get like a minute of daylight every day.
I mean, it's like 6:15, 6:20, 6:30 before it's dark now. So
yeah, now people in other parts of the country and other parts of the world who listen to our podcast, by the way, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We appreciate you tuning in. We have a big following in Europe, Ireland, the UK, Spain. I haven't figured that one out yet. But Australia,
right.
New Zealand, we love you.
When the
Thank
World
you.
Cup starts, we're gonna be up there.
We're
man.
In. So if you've if you know anything about Michigan, it's a cold winter place. Okay, we're in the northern hemisphere, and we're in the northern part of the northern hemisphere. So it gets very cold here, long about January and February, and these are the long days. These are the long days because it's very cold. I mean, I think the high today was 15 Fahrenheit. And, you know, we're getting some snow pretty much every day here. And if you don't watch yourself, you can get kind of down, can't you, buddy?
You can. It's like Alaska in a way, right? Alaska is like cold and dark. And
yeah. Now, they get less sunlight than we do.
Yeah, so it's probably not as bad, but...
No, but, for people around the world who listen to us, Michigan is in the heart of winter now.
It is. This is the heart of winter, and we're going through a bad COVID spell right now where we're kind of opening up, but, you know, things have to shut down early. And anyway, we're still, we did a full weekend of shows, or I did a full weekend of shows,
Man,
so that's a good sign.
Didn't you ever.
We did a fundraiser at the Monahan Knights of Columbus in Livonia, Michigan.
That was
and
so
that was
much
great.
Fun.
Like about 50 people came out. It was just a lot of fun.
There would have been 200 if the state had allowed 100% capacity, but everybody's at 25%.
Yeah, so everybody's got to scale back. But anyway, it's a good sign. People are coming out.
Yeah.
I was up in Alpena, Michigan on Saturday night. About 70, 80 people came out. It was a... kind of a snowstorm up there, to be honest with you, but people still came out because they just want to get out of their houses and just get away from Netflix and the TV and just go see live people. And
there's only so much Netflix you can watch, right?
It's great, man. I know one person that's doing pretty good these days is Tom Brady. Just won his I don't think we've talked about it because the Super Bowl was last Sunday, but Tom Brady won his 7th Super Bowl. He's
crazy.
Been to the Super Bowl 10 times.
Yeah.
He is officially 7-3 in Super Bowls.
What an amazing stat. That's never going to be equaled. I don't care.
No. Not in our lifetime. I mean, maybe Mahomes has a chance. I mean, we've talked about it. But he's got such a long way to go.
He's got 8 more Super Bowls to get to.
Yeah.
And he has to win 6
of them. Because
he's been
to 2. So he's 1-1, and he's young. So you never know.
Yeah.
But right now, Tom Brady is king. You know, it's kind of funny because he's won all these other Super Bowls, but I never remember any post-party things that went on like this year.
No, he always kept a low profile.
I never heard of any crazy boat story from, Super Bowl I or
well,
his first one.
It was in New England. Yeah, I mean.
that's true. But anyway, the Tampa one was off the charts as there was clips of him throwing the Lombardi trophy like he was throwing it like Bobby Knight threw that chair across the court 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw it with no conviction. He wasn't really sure about it. And was that the hairy guy on the boat was Gronkowski that caught it? I thought it was just some dude.
No, I think it was just some dude. I don't think it was Gronk.
All right.
But you brought up an interesting point when we were mapping out the show. That the daughter of the sculptor of the Lombardi Trophy is now demanding an apology from Tom Brady for treating it with such disrespect. Like, oh, come on.
Well, whoever sculpted the Stanley Cup should get a call from somebody because I've seen people piss in that. Like, literally.
I remember you telling me that story.
Yeah, the post in downtown Detroit circa 1998, maybe, after they won the first one. First cup in a long, long time. Yeah. And Osgood brought the cup in to the post, which people listening from Europe don't understand. Take this, like, if you're listening in Ireland right now, take the smallest Irish pub that you live near and put as many people as you possibly can in there. And that's what the post was like every Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah.
And they would play like, remember the song, the Partridge Family song, like the theme
Come
song?
Come on, get happy?
Yeah, they would play like that. And
that should be our theme song.
And people would just go crazy for those old 80s, 70s. Yeah, and people would just go nuts. Anyway, the Stanley Cup kind of got floated around like a people thing, like a people body surfing.
Yeah.
And the Stanley Cup went all the way around this bar, and then it went into the bathroom for a while.
Uh-oh.
So when it was in the bathroom, I don't want to say it was washing its hands, okay? It was like doing some grotesque things in there.
Wow.
And there was some stuff going on in there. But, I mean, for the most part, people were drinking beer out of it and stuff like that. But
not after that, they weren't. They were emptying themselves of the beer they drank into it. Wow, that's
but I don't even know who first scripted the Stanley Cup. Was it Lord Stanley or was it some guy named Stanley?
Yeah, it was Lord Stanley. I know.
But anyway, so the Lombardi Trophy
and Lady Bing
was scripted by somebody or was sculptured.
Yeah.
And they got offended by the throwing. Yes,
and
of
she's
this thing.
She's demanding an apology. And I was like, "You know what, lady? I don't know
what do you want Brady to do. I mean, I guess he could. He probably tweeted at her. Who knows?
He's hungover. Why do you need an apology for a guy who's just exuberantly celebrating the fact that he is the greatest of all time?
Yeah, and if anything, you should be sculpting like boat ones that you can use for boats and like what do you call it? Like Nerf.
Yeah, out of styrofoam.
Yeah, make styrofoam and sell them. Sell them online. Like make money because of what he did. Every boat in America will want one.
Oh, they would, but you know, she's just sort of a stick in the mud thing, this gal.
And whatever. That's how I think. You just make money off of it.
By the way, here's an interesting story, sort of ancillary to the Tom Brady, GOAT, greatest of all time. Bill Russell, last Friday, did the most subtle owning of Tom Brady.
What did he do?
On Twitter. He tweeted a picture of himself with his 11 rings.
All right.
Okay. Now, obviously, wow. Brady is the greatest pro football player of all time.
It's done. Yeah, it's done.
That's not in dispute anymore.
Argument's over.
But they've been saying that he is the greatest pro athlete of all time in any sport. And Bill Russell just tweeted a picture of his two hands with his 11 rings on it, and just sent it out. And I thought,
who had the 11th ring? Where did he put that one on?
I don't know, two on the pinky or something like that. I can't remember the picture, but wow.
Brady's four away from that. I mean, could he do it?
No.
Could he possibly play till he's 50 and win four more?
Well, okay, he would be 47 if he won four in a row.
To close out his career.
Yeah,
What is this?
George Blanda. He's not a punter, right?
I mean, how much longer can the guy play?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's obviously in good shape. I mean, he absolutely shredded Kansas City, and he didn't break a sweat. The guy was never in trouble, right? So I don't know. I don't know. But I think it's a stretch to think that a guy can win four in a row at 43.
And you
got to
look at this, too. The guy has like a country club setting now because – let's say he plays next year, right? Which he's probably gonna.
Oh, he's gonna play.
He won't have to do training. I mean, when he does training camp, it's his own exercising regimen that he's doing. So training camp means nothing to him.
Yeah.
The preseason means nothing to him. He's really only playing in 16 games. He just has to be ready on game day.
Yep.
And just play 16 games, and that's a full year. So it's like, He can do that.
Well, I mean, he's a special breed, and as such, he gets special treatment. But it is rather interesting to me that Bill Russell just put that out there
and didn't great.
And made no comment on it. You know, 11 titles.
Yeah.
11.
11. Well, Brady's not there. I mean, Jordan's only got, what, 6 or 7, right? So he passed Jordan.
Yeah, he had two three-peats and then a single, right? So he had 7.
So he's got 7. So he's on pace with Brady right now.
Yeah. So props to Bill Russell.
Horry. Robert Horry was like a 6-man on 9 different NBA championship teams or some shit. He's got.
Yeah, that's true.
He's got like 7, 8, 9 rings or something.
Oh, he remember when he baked the Pistons when
he
with
just
Dallas?
Shot the lights out, man. Just
oh,
never
man.
Missed.
He just from the corner. Remember that? It just put a dagger in us in the finals. Oh, I'll never forget that.
Ginobili killed us too. All
who
the time.
Who left Horry open? Boom!
I knew Ginobili for the Spurs. Yeah, just killed us, man.
Yeah, he did. He surely did.
But here we are. We're on our Valentine's Day show.
It tells
the
you
two singlest guys in America.
Yeah, it tells you how successful we were on Valentine's Day that we spent the first 15 minutes talking about sports.
What is your I know you're single now and so am I, but
yeah,
what is like a really bad date? Have you ever had just a horrible date?
Oh, we've had lots of horrible dates.
We bumped up against Valentine's Day. We got to talk about bad dates.
Yeah, well, we've bumped up against this in previous episodes, but we've never really gotten to that one bad date, that one bad night that each of us has had. And so maybe it's time we talk about it. Unburden ourselves, as they say. The worst, so this section of the Sal and Bob show is the worst date you ever had. Now, I'm 58 years old, and I'm actually, it feels kind of weird even talking about dating.
Yeah.
But, you know, through no fault of my own, I'm single. And, you know, it's the world doesn't really change for you. You have to adapt yourself to it. And I've had several bad dates. But I want to say, if we're talking about the worst, this is it.
The worst.
All right. So no names, obviously. We don't want to talk about that. This was probably 6 years ago. And there was somebody I had met on a dating site. Don't ask me what it was. Probably Match.com. I don't know. And we met in our little town of Northville. And it started off swimmingly for the first 5 minutes. And then I noticed there was this sort of a combative air to her that I couldn't really put my finger on. I didn't understand why. I thought, okay, we're here. It was warm weather. It was summertime, and we were at a restaurant, and it was outdoor seating. It was a place called the Garage in Northville.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so I had the apparent misfortune of being seated next to the door where the waiters and waitresses would bring the food out to the people sitting on the balcony. Right.
Got it.
And so. My date was seated with her back to that door. So anytime this door would open, I'm a curious guy, I would look up and see who came through it. So it took this, you know, maybe 3 or 4 times for her to think that I was scoping out other women. No, I wasn't. It just, you couldn't help if the door opened, you're like, oh, what? It just, your eyes are drawn to it, right? So we're 15 minutes into this, Sal. 15 minutes, not even through with our first drink. And she says, I don't know why you met me here. You're so interested in whoever else is here. I said, I immediately said, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I think you got the wrong idea. But every time that door opens, you know, it's just my eyes are dry. She goes, yeah, I know the door is open behind me. Are there better looking women coming out through that door than me? I said, no. Are there more interesting women coming out? I said, no. Now my back is getting up. I said, okay, hold on. Time out here.
I would have said, I guess we can't eat in the kitchen at Buco de Pepo.
No, you'll never pull that one off.
Jeez.
Like,
are you hitting on the cook? I don't know. He's right in front of me, honey. Sorry.
You keep an eye on these cannolis. So, So I apologized, and inside I'm like, why am I apologizing? There's something wrong with this moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And but I, you know, I did the chivalrous thing and said, okay, I'll put this on me. So I said, would you like to move? She goes, oh, really? Is that what it takes for you to stop eyeing other women? And I said, okay.
Go, well, they got a seat next to the women's John if you'd like to go over there.
let's change seats. You go to another restaurant. But like an idiot, I still think there's something salvageable here. This is the biggest problem I have in my life. I'm such a friggin' Pollyanna. I'm thinking, okay, maybe she just had a bad day, whatever it is. And I you know, kind of fobbed that smart-ass comment up. And I said, okay, look, let's reset again. I said, I'm interested in getting to know you. You're very funny. You're, you know, from our conversations, you're very intelligent, very pretty. And she says, and Sal, I'm not kidding you. Well, not as pretty as the women coming out of that door.
Oh, jeez.
So now I'm done. I've gone three strikes with her, and I said, I can't do this anymore. We're 20 minutes in, maybe 25. Jeez. I've tried my best to, you know, and I said, I'm not really sure where to go with this. So I tell you what, I know where you parked and I know where I parked. Let me walk you to your car. Let me pay this bill for these drinks. She goes, no, we came here for dinner. We're having dinner. I said,
oh boy.
And it just popped out. So I said, oh no, I'm not having dinner. We're done. So I asked the server to come over. I paid the bill, and I said, I'll walk you to your car. So we're walking, and as we get closer to her car, she starts to rethink her attitude on all this.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm all done with it. I just think she's a psycho.
Yeah.
So we're maybe 50 yards from her car. She stops, and she goes, you know what? I'm sorry about that. And I said, you know what? It's okay. Thank you for your apology, but I just don't think this is going to work out. She goes, no, I really, you know, I kind of went overboard there. I said, okay, but, you know, I'm still going to walk you to your car. And she goes, you know what? I don't need you to walk me to my car.
Wow.
I said, great, because my car's in the other direction, and I can't tell you how done I am with this conversation. I make a hard left, right? She follows me.
What?
She follows me, and she won't stop talking. And I don't think this woman is ever going to listen to this podcast. She's just a completely humorless person. So I don't feel bad saying this. I literally stopped and I said, hey, look, and we're in the middle of a parking lot now. I said, my car is about 20 feet that way. I'm getting in that car and this night is over. I know where your car is. Please go there.
Perfect.
And buddy, I got in that car and I couldn't wait to get out of that parking lot. And I thought, at any moment, she's going to throw herself in front of my car and claim that I hit her.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What a nightmare. That was...
You never saw her again? Never heard from her again?
No. Well, actually, I saw her again. She communicated with me on Facebook, I think, like a year later. Anyway, it was just weird. Just weird.
Yeah.
So, give me your worst date.
You know, I'm trying to think, like, I had met this girl two times at Bar Louie, twice at Bar Louie within like a span of like a month and a half.
Right.
And she acted really weird when I met her at Bar Louie, which is only a couple miles from my house.
The first time she acted
weird. The first time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I back up a second here? I'm sorry to open up ruining your train of thought.
No.
So the second time, did you agree that the first time didn't go well? You wanted to try it again? Okay, go ahead. Okay.
No, that's fine. It basically what had happened was I had met her at Bar Louie, and we sat at the bar and we're having drinks, and she was fumbling with her phone a lot, and she was texting her daughter a lot. She told me, she's like, my daughter's having problems with her boyfriend, and I just need to deal with this. And I go, no problem, you know. So I'm at my home bar, which is Bar Louie. I know the bartenders. You know. So I don't care. I got sports on, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's like, go deal with your daughter.
It's like
the Lakers
it's like,
are
it's
on.
Like going on a date in my man cave. You know what I mean? It's a pretty good situation. Yeah. And she's doing this. Anyway, she has to leave like 20 minutes into the date. She's like, my daughter's having problems with her boyfriend and I just need to go. I need to go down to, it's about 10 miles from here and I don't know if I can come back. And I go, look, I'll probably be back here. The Lakers game just started. So if you want to, you know, or something
like
that.
And I got 50 bucks on the over.
So she doesn't call me back, but she does text me and she's like, hey, I'd like to do it again sometime. And then like 2 weeks later, we text each other, you know, like, hey, how you doing? And she's like, hey, I'd like to try that over again kind of thing. And I go, yeah, let's go up to Bar Louie again.
Yeah.
So we go to Bar Louie. She meets me again. She's texting her daughter again. Just it's like Groundhog's Day.
Oh.
And I go, are you texting your daughter again? Like, I you know, she's like, I go, this is happening again. She goes, oh, my God, I can't believe. She said it. She goes, I can't believe it. She goes, it seems like every time I go out with you, like her boyfriend becomes like this jerk to her, to my daughter, to her daughter. And I'm like, so you got to go take care of it. She goes, I think I do. She goes, but I she goes, I know. She goes, it's early. I'll come back. And crazy, right? So that's how those two dates go. I go on with my life. I don't talk to her. Like 9 months later, it's 9 months. So like things have changed. She probably changed her hair color, whatever. I agreed to this date on another dating site.
So
with
okay,
this girl.
So you see her again on another dating app.
Yeah, no, I didn't know. I didn't know it was her.
Oh, you didn't know it was her because her pictures were different.
Pictures were different, okay, and I'm like, oh, this girl's cute, you know. And I just, you know, how you are on there. You just start texting maybe 3-4 different women and whoever gets back to you, kind of thing. I mean, we all do it. I'm not saying anything nobody knows about. It's not like you concentrate on one girl your whole time when you're on Match.
You don't nobody do that, Sal. Wait a minute.
So I just like this one starts messaging me back, which is, you know, we both admitted it's rare sometimes when you get messages back. So all of a sudden this girl's messaging me back and she goes, hey, I'm going to Bonefish in Dearborn. They got a band out there on Thursday nights. Why don't you meet me out there? I'd love to meet you and have a drink, blah, blah, blah. So I go there. I go to this outdoor patio and I'm walking to the table and I go, oh, it's her. It's the girl with the two Bar Louie dates. And I knew it right away. I'm like, oh,
did she know? Did she know?
She knew, like, when I sat down. I knew from a distance because I just recognized her kind of her face. And I just knew it was her. I go, okay, this is her. So I sit down, and within 30 seconds, she knows it's me. But she's not really putting two and two together because maybe she's done that way more than I've done it.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, it's just girls date more than we do. It's just a fact. So she's probably not computing me right away, but I am.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I can tell on her face that it's clicking.
She goes, what was it? She went, Sal?
Yeah. No, I can just tell in her eyes. And I go, yep, it's me. Yeah. Like right when I saw her eyes, like acknowledge me. And
how's
I
your
go,
daughter?
It's me. You know, and I just go, look, we're here. I go, this band's great. I go, I'm sitting here and have a couple of drinks. If you want to stay here and have a couple of drinks with me, I'm totally cool. I don't know what your situation is now, but I'm willing to sit here and have a drink with you.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, okay, you know, blah, 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 how you been, blah, you know, small talk. All of a sudden, I see this guy that I knew from my beer distributor, and he came over to say hi, and I ended up talking to him for like, I thought it was like 10 minutes, but it might have been longer. I really was trying to be cordial to her, and I literally told the guy, hey, I'm on a date here, man. It's good to see you. Here's my card or something, you know.
And he wouldn't shut up.
And he walked away, and she's like, well, I thought you were going to do that like 20 minutes ago. She says, it was really nice what you did, but I thought you were going to do it 20 minutes ago. I go, are you seriously giving me an attitude right now? Like, what is going on? So I go, I'm sorry. You know, she goes, you know, it's just every guy's the same, and she's just like putting me in a category of guys. I go, look.
You're just trying to be polite.
I go, if you want to leave, you can leave. She goes, I'm really feeling uncomfortable now. I go, no problem. And she left, and I finished my bottle of wine. I listened to this great band outdoors by myself on a Thursday night. I'm like, so I went out with that girl three times.
Yeah, three.
With the same result.
Sal, that I've never, okay, the question at the start of this segment was the worst date you've had. You had three worst dates with the same woman.
Yeah. And then one day I was on Facebook. You know how they'll do that, like, add friend, like somebody you should be friends with kind of thing? I see her.
No.
Yeah, it's like
no!
Even Zuckerberg knows me when out, you know? Jesus Christ.
Well, he doesn't know the backstory, though. Come on, Zuck.
But that's a funny story, man.
God, man. I you know, and it's sort of a testament to your patience and to your friendliness that, you know, three times with the same gal.
And really didn't. I mean, she really tried changing her appearance big time. But when I saw her in person, it's like, you know what I mean? I'm not judging her. She just had different pictures on Facebook, the dating site or whatever. And anyway, Yeah, you know, hey, that's what you get when you're single in your 50s. And yeah. This is what we're dealing with.
That so. I was exhausted at the end of that story. I'm feeling tired now.
But what do you think is worse, the worst date or your worst comedy set? What do you think would be worse?
Oh, I'm going to say worst comedy set. Easy. Yeah, hands down. Because, you know, worst date.
It's only you and that person.
It's only you and that person and whoever you decide to tell later on. But when you're having a really bad show, I mean, we don't have a lot of bad shows, but
you try not to, but they just happen.
Sometimes they
come along when you don't expect it.
Yeah.
Because you might be in the back of a room going, wow, this crowd seems really hot. And this is great. Then all of a sudden you go up there and you're the last person they want to see. They just don't like you.
And it's very infrequent that happened.
It really happens.
Sort of tepid sets, medium energy, and you're like, that was fine. Yep. You have several of those, and you have a lot of really good shows. But every so often, you're right, you run into a buzzsaw. No matter what you do, they ain't buying what you're selling.
Correct. But you know what? I think with the experience of dealing with that more and more, you get better at handling it in the situation.
You have to.
You can actually come out of it.
Yeah.
You can actually make a really, really bad crowd like you after a while if you're really good at it, if you start to get good at it.
Isn't that the truth?
I mean, that's
a very good point.
Yeah, because you don't give a anymore.
That's exactly right.
You know, when I'm eating it, I don't care. Now, one of my worst sets, I mean, I've had hundreds of worst sets.
No, you haven't had hundreds.
No, I have. We all have. We just don't admit it.
In your 20 career, you probably had 50.
Who knows? But there's a lot of them. But my most recent one was September of 2019. I was down in Florida visiting a friend and hanging out with her, and I went and did a guest set at McCurdy's, and I just didn't feel right. I was only doing 7 minutes, and I just didn't know what I was going to do. I hadn't done 7 minutes in a long time. I was doing like hour
it's
sets.
It's hard to
for
do
the,
really
know,
micro sets
for
like
three
that.
Months. I was doing hour sets, and then all of a sudden I'm doing seven, so I don't know what to do in my head. And I got a heckler right off the bat, I was in Tampa, and I said Tampa Bay Lightning, and I was trying to talk about the Rays, so I just screwed up the name of the team. Now I'm only doing 7 minutes. I'm two minutes in. I'm trying to dig out of a hole. Anyway, it was a horrible set. It was a horrible guest set.
Okay.
I'll admit it.
All right.
I've been there. Emailed the owner and just said, thank you for letting me go up on your stage. I didn't say anything about, I didn't want to be self-deprecating or say I had a bad set. I just said, hey, I'd love to, you know, work your club sometime. Obviously, he didn't email me back. But, you know, that's just the way it goes. You know, it's just the way it goes. You get one chance to make a first impression at a new club, and, you know, sometimes it doesn't go good. It didn't go good. I brushed myself off, and I said, I got to move on from it.
Yeah, which is what you do as a pro, and you're a pro's pro. I get it. I'm as you were describing it, you know, I'm getting this ache in my stomach because I know what that's like. You just
now that night I did give a shit. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you were auditioning,
and so it showed.
Yeah.
It showed in my performance. It probably showed in my body language.
Yeah,
it showed. Okay, I know that for a fact. Now I've had really, really bad sets where I don't give a
And
I turn it around.
Yeah.
Because people go, oh, man, this guy, he doesn't care. He's like still doing his jokes. And now he just said something funny.
They get respect for you.
You turn it around.
You have time to turn it around.
But not that night.
You don't have time to turn it in seven minutes if you're value jetting into the swamp.
Yeah.
You know,
that was a tough one to swim out of.
I hear you. Yeah. I've been there too.
So that was mine.
Well, here's my
worst date you heard and my worst set.
Yeah, okay. Well, you've heard my worst date, and here is my worst set. This was at the Holly Hotel, and I would like to say it was 10 years ago when I was a new headliner, you know, coming out of the feature ranks. But no, this is probably 5 years ago, and I don't know what it was. I'll never be able to put my finger on it. It was just one of these nights where it was a late show. And as we know, late shows can be a little rough. People have drank more, and they feel a little more emboldened. They want to heckle, blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't the case. These were not overtly rude people. They just didn't give a about anything I was saying.
Yeah.
And I knew it 5 minutes in. No, I knew it 2 minutes in.
Yep.
Maybe two jokes in, and I thought, okay, I'm just going to have to plow through this.
Yeah.
And I've got 43 more minutes to do, and it'll be 12:30 a.m., and I can get the hell out of here. Well, that's crappy as it is. But then when you get a table full of hecklers, 10 of them, who don't just dislike you, they have an active hatred for you for no reason, no discernible reason whatsoever. I kept thinking as they were yapping at me and I was shutting them down and they were coming back and I'm trying to shut them down. I thought, you know, did I run over one of their children? What happened here?
Yeah.
And I actually stopped and said, do I know any of you? Yeah, I mean, I said that. I was like,
no, it's.
And they, of course, they didn't answer back. They would only yap when I was talking. So I said, okay, look, I get the deal here. You came here to cause trouble, but there are, you know, and this is a late show. There's probably, you know, 20 other people. I said, the other people came here to see a show. So maybe you can just hold it down while I perform for them and you can do whatever it is you're doing over here.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the other half of the room is like, they're looking at me like they're mad that I'm talking to this table. And all I'm trying to do is survive this 45 minutes. So I immediately, I think there was 20, 25 other people. I literally turn away from this table and start addressing the other folks and said, hey, listen, sorry about these guys. And I went into the material. These guys weren't buying it either.
Wow.
They knew that other table. Not everybody, but pretty much most people in that club knew everybody. And they had as the common trait a hatred for me that I'll never to this day figure out where it came from. It's like it was a flash mob to hate on Bob. So I want to say, Sal, you know how these Holly Hotel shows can go, the late shows. I'm 30 minutes in, 35 minutes in.
Yeah.
And I got 10 minutes more to go. Finally, they get on board.
Wow.
Now I'm not having any.
Yeah.
Now I'm pissed.
You're like, hey, I'm done.
Yeah. And I'm just screaming at them. I'm saying, no, don't you laugh at that joke. I don't know who the hell you think you are. You blah, blah. And I'm, you know, what happened at the end of that night was so ludicrous. I got home. And before, I think I got home at 1:30 in the morning, maybe 2, whatever.
Yeah, after the drive.
Yeah, and I'm pissed off. I don't feel good about the way the weekend ended. So I get on email, and I'm like, there's an email.
Wow.
From the promoter saying to me, here is an email that I got from some customers that were in the crowd. And I read this email, and it said, this guy is the worst comedian I've ever seen. It's like he's never performed comedy before in his life.
God,
my blood is boiling. I'm sick. I'm like, I can't believe this. The show before and the two previous to that, I just torched that place, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, how does this happen, you know?
Ugh.
So it didn't end there. They sent another complaint email, but this time they said they had never been to a stand-up comedy show before.
Oh, my God.
They were improv fans, Sal. And so they were expecting some idiot up there going, give me a topic.
Yeah.
So,
my God.
Then I got an email from the club owner asking me about this. And I just, what can I say? Hey, they just hated me. And I've never had an experience like that where it was just like visceral hate. And so that was my...
That hurts, man. Yeah. I've had some rough sets in Holly too, man. I mean, the second show Fridays can be tough. I remember one time getting ready to do a second show there was like maybe 20 people in the audience. You know how that is there. Yeah. I mean, and don't get me wrong, for people listening, and if George
club.
And Chrissy are listening,
yeah.
they're comedy clubs are packed most
oh,
nights.
Oh, yeah, and it's a
Friday,
it's a
Saturdays
wonderful
are
place.
They just do two shows each night, and one of the shows might be 20 people. It's just the way it works out. And those are the ones where you just, you know, they're fun for us sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm in the back of the room. It was like, 10 to 11. and the feature was getting ready, or the opener was getting ready to go up. And I turned to the wait staff and I go, what time can I go to? They're like, oh, can you just get off at 5 to 12? We want to get out of here, you know. And I go, look, if I'm not having fun, I'll definitely get off at 5 to 12. If I'm having fun, I'll go to like 5 after.
Yeah.
She goes, okay. So I'm up there 5 minutes into my set. I just same like what you just described. They just didn't want anything to do with me, nothing. Yeah. So I literally said to the back of the room, like 5 minutes into my set, I go, all would be done at that first time that I told you about. And they started laughing, like all four of them in the back started laughing. Yeah. They knew what that meant. And I am not going to do any material from this point on. Yeah. I go, and you guys are my, you guys in the back, I go, whoever that bartender was, I go, you hear me back there? He goes, yeah, I hear you. I go, I'm
was
not
that
doing
Bob, the older
yeah,
guy?
Bob. Yeah, Bob. What Bob, that Bob guy. Yeah. And I go, I'm not doing any material for these people because they don't want to hear jokes. Because I was doing, I did like 10 minutes all my jokes and they weren't laughing.
Yeah.
You know, and they were kind of giggling, like, what's this guy talking about? And then I just went around the room. I go, hey, sir, what do you do for a living? And I just did that. I mean, some of it was funny, some of it wasn't.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm not doing my act with these people.
You had 45 minutes to get through, and you did it.
Yeah, I just did it
the way you knew how.
I did it. I did it by talking to them, and you know,
sometimes they just don't go with you. Is what we're saying, folks. And you know, the HBO specials, the Netflix specials that we all see, those are heavily produced, and they don't always go that way.
They're ready. They're ready to tell those jokes, and they got a pretty good audience. But we're gonna be having some great shows coming up in 2021.
Yeah, we are.
I just got some dates. I'm gonna be at the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase April 24th to the 26th, along with you,
yes, sir,
on a kind of special weekend that we're doing with some top Detroit guys for the weekend.
Oh, I didn't know that's a whole weekend of shows. We're doing?
It's gonna
be.
Oh,
that's great.
Yeah, it's gonna be me, you, Bill Hildebrandt, Jeff Brannon, and I think Billy Ray Bauer. I think it's gonna be us
wonderful.
Five doing like 15, 20, just boom, 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 and it's just gonna be a fun weekend. And we're kind of doing it at a little bit of a discounted rate
that.
For Roger
yeah.
and to get the club back going.
Yeah.
So we're doing that. I'm going to be at Mark Ridley's May 20th to the 22nd. Go to saldemillo.com. Go to bobphillips.com.
Yeah.
At Bob the Suit, at SallyD08, On Tour Records, On Tour Podcast, Perfecta Podcast. We're all over the place.
We're so social,
we're on Crossing
we?
The Streams on Wednesday nights.
Yeah,
I
come
mean,
out
what
and,
are we? We're
yeah,
on,
Crossing
we're
the on, Streams. That's a fun show.
Yeah, Crossing the Streams. I got to watch something this week. I'm gonna have to stream something.
Yeah, come out to Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle next week if you feel like hearing some of my shenanigans.
Yeah.
This will be February 18th through the 20th.
Yep.
And
yep.
then 2 weeks
next
from
coming weekend.
Then I will be headlining the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase March 5th through the 7th. I think I got those dates right.
And then we're doing a Kenosha thing together.
Yeah.
March 19th and 20th. So,
do you think they'll have some cheese in Wisconsin?
They will definitely have cheese.
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to definitely go get some cheese during the day on Sunday. actually, Kenosha is a very heavily Italian town. There's a
restaurants
in town and delis. And so definitely keep listening to the Sal and Bob Show.
Oh, I want to make one more program note here.
Yeah.
My headline dates at the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. The very funny young up-and-coming comedian and producer of the Sal and Bob Show, Nate Armbruster,
he will
is going to
be on that show.
Featuring
I'm coming
me.
Out
middling.
For that one. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to come out for that one, man.
That's
going to
be
a fun
fun
weekend. Well, that's awesome, man. Well, hey, make sure you listen to us every week. Make sure you download us on Stitcher or anywhere you get your podcast. Thank you so much. We got some new listeners up in Alpena. I gave out my cards after the show, and they're digging it. It's also on Friday night. Thank you very much for listening to the Sal and Bob Show. We always appreciate it. I'm Sal D'Amelio along with Bob Phillips across from me, man. Keep wearing your masks. We'll get through this thing. Take care, everybody.
Good night.